on broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 174 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. And, of course, we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess of TooManyThingsToList.com. And there you can find at least a short list of things that I do. But this week we also have Mark Savory of the webcomic Autumn Lake at autumnlake.com. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
And we are out once again of a Tanya. We do not have a Tanya with us. So she is at the airport, so she cannot be here. But hopefully next week or the week after we can get her back on. And this week we are we have a guest on the show with us. We have Gwen Patton, who is of the webcomic Quark Time at quarktime.net.
Hi there.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And let's see here. And this particular episode of the Webcomic Beacon is a revisit to a topic we've talked about before, Machinima Comics. If that's properly the way you're supposed to refer to them, as Machinima is most specifically referring to people creating videos via acting through video games and recording the results, and that may include a combination of custom or hacking to create movement and direction versus just using specifically what is just available in the game itself as you record. But we are talking about not movies, but comics, which would be stills. And of course, that is what Quark Time is using. But specifically, the last time we talked about The Sims Machinima, but this time we're talking about Second Life. And for those who don't know what Second Life is, where the hell have you been for the past 10 years? Actually, I don't know how old it is.
I was in First Life. Actually, I was in No Life, because I didn't even have First Life, let alone Second.
Oh, geez.
I have to shift up into Low.
All right, so Gwen.
Yes.
Is it Gwen?
Yes, it is Gwen.
All right, Gwen. Perhaps you can tell us a bit about what Second Life is.
Second Life is a gigantic collection of computers out in California and a co-location in Texas where people have set up this huge three-dimensional virtual reality world. And you can build pretty much whatever you want. And there's about 32,000 or so separate quarter-kilometer regions, and you can have pretty much anything you want in any of these regions, and all the content is built by the people in Second Life. There's a certain little bit of content that was created by Linden Lab, the company that runs Second Life, just to get it started, but the rest of the content was all built by the people that are in it, that they call the residents. And there's so much just stuff in it, and it's just this explosion of inventiveness and imagination that there's practically anything you can imagine is in Second Life somewhere. It's put all together, it's a landmass larger than Rhode Island, and it's just humongous. It's 32,000 little squares, a quarter of a kilometer on a side, and now they've got a space that you can put stuff in 4 kilometers tall, all spread out in a grid, and people can teleport between them. And if these little regions are actually put together side by side and contiguous, you can walk between them or drive between them or fly between them or fly spaceships between them. And it's really quite intense. And there's sometimes no rhyme or reason between the environments, between one of these regions and another, or even between one side of one of these regions and the other, because someone can own a little plot on one, and next to them is another plot that someone else owns, and they have wildly different ideas of what can be on what they want to put on each of their little plots. Mm-hmm. So they've built totally different environments and totally different things on each of their areas, so it can look completely different.
Now, but, I gotta stop you here. So there's these grids. So there's all these different zones, and within these different grid squares, you can have multiple plots, multiple users with multiple plots, or something like that.
Oh yeah, and every resident can come in and buy or rent an area of virtual land.
Okay.
And the amount of land depends on how much they want to pay for. They can pay for anything from a square of land, a meter on a side, all the way up to entire continents if they can pay for it. You know, multiple regions at a time, you know, all put together into a continent. You know, if they can pay for it, they can get it. And for example, a region would cost you $300 a month.
Wow.
And $1,000 as a setup fee, just to start it up.
But, I mean, this is real money or virtual
money? That's real money. That's real money. That's real money. Just to get it set up is $1,000 US, and then $300 US a month. And then there's virtual money, the Linden dollar, which is the virtual money that is actually it's exchangeable for US dollars. But they don't really stress that very much. But it is exchangeable for U.S. dollars. And there's a back-and-forth trade of that. And people make stuff and sell stuff and, you know, buy and sell their land and buy and sell the little widgets and the clothes and the cars and, you know, whatever else they've made. And the economy is utterly insane and utterly intense, and there's just about anything and everything that you could possibly imagine in this place. And the way I look at it is just there's this huge wealth of background art available in this place because everybody's built just about everything. And I can make my own stuff there too, and I've gotten pretty good at building my own stuff. So I can build my own scenery and build my own props, and you can create your own avatar, your virtual representation of your characters. You can build your avatars there however you want them to look. So it's all dependent on your imagination. It's a perfect way to build three-dimensional art relatively easily because they give you all of the tools.
Is there a monthly I'd hope there's no monthly subscription if you don't have any sort of property, if you just want to fly around?
Yeah, if you don't have any land, if you don't want to own land if you don't want to own land on the main continent, if you don't want to own any land, you don't have to pay any kind of a fee at all. It's just free. And then if you want to buy any of their virtual money, then you can do that, but you don't have to have any kind of a fee or anything like that. It's just free.
So you could go on there and set up some kind of a shop to sell digital paintings or something.
Absolutely, and people have done this. They're all over the place.
Would you need to have a physical shop to put the paintings in, or could you say, hey, come check out my gallery of images, you could take one?
They actually Linden Labs set up an online marketplace where you can just buy stuff online, and you don't actually have to have an on the grid location where you can put a store, or you can rent space in someone else's store. You don't have to have your own land to put it on. The other people have set up malls, and you can go in and rent space at a mall.
Cool.
Wow. Hey, that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool, and just having the resource available made this comic idea possible.
We have a couple of questions from our vocal chat room. Somebody asks, what is this program called? We've already answered that. It's called Second Life, as in you're living your real first life right now, and this is your second one. And somebody also asked, just looked at the website, is this close to Sims? And I would have to say, no, you don't, and, you know, you actually control all the aspects of your Second Life character versus Sims. You're kind of manipulating somebody, kind of. Is that a fair description?
Absolutely. In something like The Sims, there's almost like a pre-built area, and you're doing kind of things that are already set up.
Mm-hmm.
In Second Life, you're just plunked down somewhere, and what you do is up to you. There's no game, per se. It's just a world that you're in, and you do what you want. You know, you create what you want, you do what you want. You're just in there. It's just a world. It's not a game with set rules and set parameters and a set object or goal that you're trying to accomplish. There's no quests. There's no no princess to rescue unless, you know, there's people have set up role-playing regions where they've wanted princesses to rescue so badly that they've set up role-playing games in Second Life so they can rescue princesses. But
wow. it's almost like surrogates set in a holodeck.
Yeah, essentially. And they've set up basically Third Life inside Second Life with role-playing games inside Second Life so they can have Third Life. It's kind of amazing how much is in there when you go looking for it.
Well, you got to be careful with that, because if you go to Fourth Life, you could end up in limbo, and then you don't know whether or not you're actually in First Life or, you know, what level, you know.
Well, actually, there are Star Trek role-playing sims in Second Life, and if you go into the holodeck in a Star Trek region in Second Life, that could possibly be Fourth Life.
Well, I was making an Inception joke.
Oh, no, now it's like Inception.
Yeah, that's. I was trying to make an Inception joke, yeah.
Wow, I hadn't thought of that. So you could actually like make things there to sell. That'd be pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Is it like a special code or something that you need, or a special program?
They give you the tools to build objects. You know, and you build everything's built out of these little primitive objects, and it's almost like sculpting. You know, you're putting things together out of these little pieces, and then you texture them with images and color them and stuff like that. And they have a programming language that you use to give them behavior. And so they're programmed. They got programmed behavior. They've got the shapes that you you craft them to have. And there's just about anything you can imagine there, from musical instruments to starships. And they do what you would expect them to do. And I know someone in Second Life that basically pays for the heating on his home in the wintertime by selling widgets and stuff like that.
Hmm. That's pretty sweet.
It's like World of Warcraft has an in-game economy, and gold buying is not legal as far as the rules of terms of World of Warcraft, but it's there. It happens. People do make money off of getting real money for in-game gold and such like that. So it's not. This is just a legitimized game that allows that, essentially, but it also puts a system there of itself. It is that gold. The company is its own gold buyer or gold seller, basically. So it all goes through them, and they control it. If I'm saying this,
yeah, essentially, the Linden Lab has an exchange where you buy Linden dollars, but then you can also trade Linden dollars back to Linden Lab, and they give you back dollars. So
I like right. that idea.
Yeah, there's a way to actually get them back.
I wonder if I could counterfeit Linden dollars.
Actually, they go to great. They go to great extent to prevent that from happening.
Yeah. So much for my plans of wealth.
I suppose, but they only got that initial. What's like the cheapest amount of land that you can, like a decent amount, like an acre?
About the smallest the smallest piece of land that's actually useful for anything is about 512 square meters. Because that's got about, because they actually allocate how many objects you can have on a piece of land based on how big it is.
Okay.
And you can have about 117 primitive objects on a piece of land 512 square meters. So that's enough to put a small building on, have a few things on, have maybe a car on, and get away with it and have it actually be reasonably useful.
Well,
anything smaller than that, and it's not very useful.
Okay. Well, how much would that 512 be?
It depends on where it is. In some areas, you could get it for almost nothing. You could rent it for very little. You would, if you wanted to buy it on the mainland, there's several continents that are owned by Linden Lab that are considered to be the mainland. You would have to actually be a premium member and pay a monthly fee.
I don't care about that. So you could get some remote location that's not actually connected to anything and just kind of, and then people could teleport there basically.
There are private estates which are owned by residents where they've paid the $1,000 and $300 a month. And those, you basically just rent the land from the person that did this. And you don't have to be you don't have to pay a monthly fee to Linden Lab to get land there. You just go in and pay them your monthly fee for your monthly rental for the land, however much they want for it, and you've got your land. And some of these estates can be extremely large.
Okay, so there's the Linden Lab's specific areas that they run, and if you want to buy a lot on one of their existing spots, it's just a rental. There's no setup fee.
Now you get the monthly fee, and then you buy the land at a price per square meter. And then there's a maintenance fee that you pay every month for that. Beyond that, it's actually almost like paying your property tax.
Sounds complicated.
It's extremely complicated.
But for folks who draw or design, I mean, a sort of mall type of thing is a brilliant idea. That's utterly brilliant to make some extra bucks.
Hopefully. Well,
I'm one of these people that put up the $1,000 and the $300 a month, along with the assistance of several friends, to have one of these regions in Second Life, a private estate region. And that's where I do my artwork for my comic.
Mm-hmm. Which we'll go into a little bit after our break here. Just to keep it all nice and tight, you know, one particular topic at a time, because we do got to go to break real quick. And when we come back, we will talk about Gwen's comic.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. And don't forget, we broadcast live on Sundays at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room, have news reports or Becky art, transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Questions? Dial our voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. And now, back to our show.
Okay, so you are one of these crazy, crazy people that have lots of money just to throw around in virtual space. So you have this, estate. And this is your playground for making the comic Quark Time. So, to start us off, why don't you tell us, not about Second Life or your use in Second Life, but just tell us about Quark Time, the story, and, you know, tell us about your comic.
Okay, in order to tell you this story, I have to go back in time a little bit and tell you a little bit about how this all came about. The sordid story about how I came about into becoming a comic artist. Okay, enough of that. about 4 years ago, I was coming out of work, and I was getting something out of my trunk, and a gust of wind, it must have been a 40 mile an hour gust of wind, blew the trunk lid of my car down on the back of my head, and it crunched 3 discs in my neck and compacted 3 vertebrae.
Holy shit.
And it really did me up a mischief. And this effectively benched me completely. it disabled me. I got the damage, the initial damage fixed. I got went in and got all 3 levels of the spine fused, and it was recovering real nicely for about 6 months, but then complications set in. And with each level of the spine that they do that to, there's a certain percentage of complications that can happen. Well, I drew a trifecta in this one and got a whole bunch of complications. Mm-hmm. So I've got all these little bone spurs growing inside my spine. And so I'm kind of in a certain amount of pain all the time. And sometimes it's a lot of pain. So I don't do a lot of moving around. I don't do a lot of going anywhere or doing much of anything. And this really limited my motion and my moving around to sitting in a recliner at home and watching a lot of daytime TV, which had the expected effect of starting to rot my brain rather quickly and driving me insane. Well, my life partner rescued me from this fate by showing me Second Life as a way of at least finding some contact with human life. And this grew into a way to make contact with people, to have some creative outlet, to find a way to do something that I could make things to be creative from my chair. And I found that I could actually do this. Now, I used to be a writer, but I can't type a lot anymore. It hurts too much. But I did find, after some experimentation, that I can use a Wacom tablet without a lot of great pain. This was an amazing discovery. So I found that I could take snapshots from Second Life as base art, do a lot of modifications to it. I don't have Photoshop. I don't have that much money. Mm-hmm. And modify it in GIMP. You know, there's some irony for you. modify it in GIMP to make my comic. And I started off with about 7 or 8 pages as a proof of concept before I have ever put anything up on the web.
Good.
Just to make sure that I could do it.
Right.
And I was so pleased with the process and with the fact that I could actually do this without it killing me that I started the comic up online and have been able to consistently do a page a week ever since. And that was about June of last year was when the site went live. So it's been, and I've been getting better at it as I go along. At least I think so. I'm learning how to do the artwork better. I'm learning how to actually, you know, draw some of this stuff myself instead of having to rely solely on Second Life for the artwork. And as time goes on, I'm learning more and more about it. I've been reading an awful lot, and it's meeting a need for creative outlet that I very desperately needed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some of the background of how the comic got started and why I started doing it. The story itself, you know, Jenny Everywhere, you know, Fess is very familiar with Jenny Everywhere. I mean, I should hope so.
Yes.
I ran into Jenny Everywhere completely by accident because I was I happened to be looking through the public domain superheroes list and ran into her there, and then started looking through the Shifter archive.
Mm-hmm.
And just absolutely fell in love with her and fell in love with the idea and started reading, you know, what links were still active and what archives were still in existence, and decided that, for my first comic, this was a really good opportunity and a really good character to work with, because she already had some basis, but I wasn't going to be hurting anything. So I tried using Jenny everywhere for this comic, and I think that it's coming together fairly nicely. The start of the story is kind of a takeoff on an older Jenny Everywhere story, The Death of Jenny Everywhere.
Okay.
But I'm taking a real wild tangent on it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a hint in that story that she didn't remember what happened at the end of that story. She woke up from this dream and didn't remember what happened. Well, my premise was, what if Jenny remembered what happened? What if she, and what if that's not normal? What if they all have this dream when a Jenny dies? But what if one remembered for some reason? What if that's unusual? Why would that be unusual? What circumstances would cause a Jenny to remember this scene of a funeral or a wake or a viewing at a funeral home of the death of another Jenny? And why would it be important for her to remember? What would cause this? And it's leading me into my own ideas of the origins of the Jennies. You know, why they exist, what purpose they serve in the fabric of reality. And I'm going to play some serious hob with the cosmology of the Jennyverse, and I may get some people mad at me, but I hope that instead they'll just have fun with it, because I'm having fun too.
Well, if anybody has known me or seen the website, there are certainly different facets of Jenny Everywhere. There's also certain splits, which mostly deal with the particular powers or abilities that she may have. Not a whole lot of people touch on origins on purpose, I guess, so much. Not like the overall origin, but... you know, that's the thing with Jenny Everywhere. You pick and choose your continuity, essentially.
Well, that's pretty much what I'm doing. I'm going to leave a hole so that those who choose to use Jenny Everywhere in the future, that want to ignore me and say that I'm not canon, will be free to do so. You know, they will be free to say, "Oh, we're going to ignore you over there. We're going to do it our way." You know, that's fine. You're perfectly free to do so. That's, you know, you do your story your way, and that's perfectly fine.
Yep.
I will not insist, because I have no power to do so.
Right, right.
But I will hope that you will use me as some inspiration, because that's part of what it's for. It's to have some fun with and to inspire others.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. All right. So, yeah, that's I forget how I came across you. I don't know if you posted it in the forum or not, but I think it was just a tweet. I ended up, like, because it's like, I watch Jenny Everywhere. It's like, tweets is like, somebody mentioned it. I must tell them.
Well, I think also I've been pestering you to put me on the Shifter archive, too.
Oh, yeah. It's way over a year not up to date. I know I need to get to work on that, but there's you and 20 other references at least have to be put up on there. My apologies. But, okay, so in this comic that you have, Quark Time, or Jenny Everywhere's Infinite Quark Time, you essentially do have an antagonist. And
yes.
Now, without going into any specifics, because I don't want you to
no
give
spoilers.
No spoilers. But is this would this antagonist, despite being a guy, kind of be the Jenny Nowhere, or not really?
No.
Okay.
Because I will say that there will at some time be an appearance by Jenny Nowhere.
Okay. It's kind of curious.
That much I will say, because I think it's obligatory.
Well, not necessarily. Jenny Nowhere has been fairly recent anyway, as far as being. It was episode 20 of the Webcomic Beacon that we had a bunch of the original creators on, and Nelson Evergreen basically said people should make a Jenny Nowhere if they'd like to. It's not just contained to that one last panel of that one story that he was working on. But that was episode 20, we're at 172. That was a long time ago, actually. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like 2 years almost. Crazy.
Well, I fully intend to use Jenny Nowhere, and that is going to be an interesting piece in and of itself, and I'm not going to spoiler that.
That's fine.
But there, in fact, there's going to be some other serious developments along those lines. I've been borrowing from some other people. I borrowed from Benj a little bit on a couple of his things, like the concept of the infinite. I borrowed from him, and he was very happy that I did that. I talked to him about that, and he thought that was kind of cool.
Cool. Let's see here. Yeah, that's one thing. Some people will borrow from other people, especially since 2006 when the resurgence started of Jenny Everywhere. By the way, this summer is going to be her 10th birthday. I believe August 13th is her birthday that we determined. But there's, like, so, especially with doing her abilities, you know, there's always been a question of, like, she's the shifter. What does she shift? Does she shift just herself? Is she shifting her mind between other versions? So there's a lot of things where people will play with that, whether or not she actually goes into herself in another world or she can visit herself in another world. If she can shift other objects with her, other people with her, or if she can shift exchange an object, like she holds something and she is shift exchanges it with another object from a different universe or such. People play with that, and, you know, it's...
I've seen all of those treatments in everyone else's comics. I've got my own treatment of it that I'm doing, and she's acquiring her own special flair and her own treatment of her own powers in my comic. In the latest page that's up on the site, she's using an aspect of her powers that probably has never been used before.
And Jenny Everywhere's powers have been originally specifically been vague on purpose. So, so it's very interesting when you see new concepts, and then of course you got like the elitist that might be like, but you never know. That's why it's pick and choose your own continuity. You know, you don't like it, you don't have to use it. So very cool.
And I do have her working with other versions of herself.
Yeah.
I have her working with another version of herself from practically the beginning of the comic.
And your comic is one of those where you actually are dealing with other versions of Jenny Everywhere, which is not a concept that everybody uses, but has been used. Let's see here. Right now, the only presently actively updating Jenny Everywhere comic, I think, right now.
Yeah, where Jenny is the main character.
Yeah, the main character. I mean, I got mine, which is she's a cast member, but... I'm hoping by the 10th anniversary, I'll have the archive up, and maybe we'll get some more interest going once again for another resurgence.
Warren Ellis was trying to get some resurgence going over on Freak Angels.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He had an artist jam a couple of months ago with people doing their own take on Jenny Everywhere. I think that was back in December, and I missed it. I was so annoyed. I missed it. It was already over by the time I heard about it.
Oh.
But last week he had a new comic posting, you know, where, you know, if you've got a comic and you want to post your comic, you know, put it up here on my site. So I put mine up and it was like, oh yeah, this is great. And
yeah, I did end up doing I wasn't going to do anything originally, but I was at a time where I was working with watercolor for my webcomic, and I was like, I'm going to quick do a Jenny Everywhere watercolor. Ah, I got to get in on this. Ah. So, yeah, that was awesome. It was like, yay! But yeah, it's me. Anyway, so you do this Jenny Everywhere comic in Second Life, and I have to ask, how the hell are you doing this?
Well, what I do is I either build or find a location for the background of the set. I set up poses for the avatars. I build either one or more avatars using alternate accounts for the other characters.
Okay.
And I've had as many as 5 different alternate accounts logged in at once. For the various characters in various scenes, and position them in the scene how I want them using custom-built animations and poses so I can get them placed just right. And then I use a Space Navigator 3D mouse to move my viewpoint through the scene, taking high-resolution snapshots.
Okay, and this is where my question comes in. So you can actually take people's avatars and pose them? And be static?
Yeah, you can make an animation. It's a BVH file, kind of like a poser file, where it's positioning the body. It's a reverse kinematics pose file. And I've got a tool for building these where you can just construct a definition file for positioning the body of the avatar and use a scripted device that they sit on. It's called colloquially a pose ball that you sit on, and it statically positions the avatar and holds them frozen in that position. And then that pose ball can be moved wherever necessary in the scene, you know, and adjusted minutely to get it just right. And then once that's all arranged, then fly the camera through the scene and take shots from different angles and even change the lighting on the scene to get the lighting just right. And take shots from different angles, adjust things in the scene, take more shots, adjust things some more, take more shots. And I've taken upwards to get a single page, I've taken 30, 40 shots. And then out of that, I'll winnow it down to the 3 to 6, you know, the 3 to 6 panels that I'll use in the page.
Okay.
And then I'll pick the shots that I want for the page, and then extensively clean up and refine the art in GIMP, layer it, add in any effects, add in any additional work that needs to be done. Sometimes I'll need to layer in additional characters or additional set pieces. So I've got essentially a green screen in Second Life.
Okay.
Where I can position an avatar in a green screen, take a shot, cut out the mat as an alpha layer where it's a transparency around it, and mat that in, and it looks fine. It looks good. And just mat it right into the shot.
Did you do this for the most recent? This is the most recent is the book 2 cover, the Exclusion Principle, where you got like this glowing circle thing below Jenny. And did you use the green screen for this particular scene, or is this all like built in?
No, let me go back to the exclusion principle cover. Actually, that is a full set that I built. Everything there is a 3D set. And those characters are actually positioned on pose balls in that set.
Okay. And so that glowing blue thing is an actual thing that was built, or
that's an actual object that is in that set.
Okay. And so with these pose balls, with posing, is like, is it all like you have to like, is it all like typed out, and you have to kind of guess this is what the X, Y, Z position is, or do you have like a 3D modeling program where you can position a wireframe or something?
There is a tool that you can use on the desktop that does it pretty much like that with a mannequin that you position, and then it makes the file that you import into Second Life. But I have a tool in Second Life that actually allows you to do the positioning on the avatar directly, and then it will make the file that you can put into the pose ball.
Sounds kind of like Gary's mod for the Half-Life source code in video games that people will use a lot, which I hope to actually have a Machinima topic on that in the future as well. What about their faces and expressions and such?
I have a scripted device that the avatar can wear and use to control their facial expressions.
Yeah, because you got a pretty determined look at on this page we're talking about with Jenny in the first panel. I wasn't sure if Second Light comes with pre-built emotion expressions or in actions and such, kind of like how World of Warcraft kind of does.
Yeah, there are a set number. There's like 20 different facial expressions that are built in to Second Life, and you can layer them. You can stack them up one on top of another to get combined facial expressions, pretty much like the ones that are in the Will Eisner drawing book on facial expressions. And some of them come out better than others. I mean, it all depends on how much digital flesh there is on the face of the avatar. Okay. If you put too much stress on the face of the avatar, the teeth will start poking out through the lips and it doesn't look very good. So you have to be kind of careful how much torque you put on the skin. But it takes a little bit of juggling to get the facial expression looking right. And actually that first panel, that determined expression, I had to go back and with GIMP do the furrowed brow. Because it didn't look right. I had to completely redo the furrowed brow because all that was there was a kind of a cross-shaped wrinkle that didn't look good at all. So I had to redo the furrowed brow, and I very heavily retouch everything.
Hmm. In this shot or a different shot that you're talking about?
In every shot, I retouch all of the character, all of the character shots. Because I want to get rid of the inevitable jaggies that are in everything, and I refine the faces just a bit and enhance the hair, because even as good as the hair is that they have in Second Life, they do have some fairly decent hair. It still doesn't look quite right.
So you have like highlights or what?
I go in and add hair strand by strand.
Wow.
Really?
I draw in extra hair strand by strand in multiple colors to make it come out looking better.
And you're using...
I'm using the GIMP.
Can you find... we're going to take a quick break once again, and while we're on break, can you find a particular strip that you did where you heavily GIMPed it, so to speak? So that we can see an example?
Oh, sure. That's easy. You can just go back one page.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Go back one page to...
That'd be funny. And you look at the first panel, and you can see the hair that I drew in on Demosthenes' lock and the extra hair on Jenny on the back of her head.
So all those little extra fluffy
looking
lines.
Little wisps and fluffs and stuff, and the hair going, all of the extra stranded hair on Demosthenes' lock, because he does not have what's called flexible hair. He only has what's called texture hair on that character, so it's not separate individual strands.
So it looks like a plastic cap that sits on his head normally?
Like a helmet.
Like a Lego block.
Like a helmet.
Yeah, Lego hair just clunk.
Yeah, his hair is just kind of like this Play-Doh helmet.
Okay.
So all of the separate strands of hair on his head I drew by hand.
Okay.
Wow.
Cool. And this is not using Photoshop for you frugal enthusiasts out there. Check out GIMP. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we got some news. And, of course, we'll finish up talking about Second Life Machinima Comics.
Second life, it's where I wanna be. Cause when I'm there, the real world don't bother me. So I'll log on if the grid ain't down. I am some friends and hope no griefers come around. Second life, it's where my money goes. Paying tier, buying prim hair and lots of clothes. On my 512, I just rezzed my last prim. Looks like I'm gonna have to get myself a sim. In Second Life, you can look real cute with a custom-made painted skin as a birthday suit. Second life, you can be anything, like a full excite loaded furry with a lot of bling. With Second Life, Linden Lab made something great. Let's hope they do not screw it up with the next update. Cause there's no place that I would rather be. In Second Life, with all my friends, I am and me. Yes, there's no place that I would rather be. Than Second Life, with all my friends, I am and me.
That was Second Life is Where I Want to Be by Nico Donbury. At musicalley.com by Mevio. Do 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 do. Save. All right, let's see what we got here. We have. Well, let's see. There's somebody I was also trying to get on to talk about Second Life Machinima, and I want to mention her. She was unavailable to come on. She is. I actually don't know her name. The Toxic Menges. Is basically at ToxicMenges.com. She does actual machinima with Second Life. I'm sorry if I don't know her name.
I don't either.
Yeah, let me look up her Twitter. It might show her name. No. All right. She has a Twitter account as well. But I saw, most recently, she has, this little Red Riding Hood thing where she has she has a camera following characters that are walking around, running, and having conversations with other people. Obviously, this is working with actual motion, which is why I was curious with Quark Time whether or not if you're having other people kind of playing the characters and quick, do that action. Now you do that action, and then you take a quick shot. But you know, apparently you can make a static position for them, which would be very, very helpful for making a comic, yeah. Of course.
Everything is – all of these poses are all done static. I could make animations, but it'd be pretty useless unless I was making a film.
Right. Unless you made, like, animations where maybe it's like it's not animations, but you select the quote-unquote animation and it automatically go into the next position you want. That already works that way.
Yeah, I probably could do it if I wanted to do a series of frames where they went from one position to another position to another position, and I was going to do it, you know, do successive shots with different positions. I might want to do it that way, but yeah. It's a lot more work to do it that way. Well, I could just make different poses
and just pull out their arm and be like, point over there after they're done talking, versus just,
you know, just yeah. Make a second pose and just change the pose.
Right. Of course, you know, I always end up trying to find the most complicated ways to do things.
Oh, yeah. He does.
I'm not actually trying to do that. That's just how, you know, logic and stuff, you know. What is, uh-huh. How does that work? Okay, so, let's see. So, I know you use alt accounts and such like that. And it's just to recap a little bit. You use alt accounts to basically have other characters to be in the shot. And mm-hmm. From there, you're able to basically set them up to be static. And in the game itself, you have this program or plugin or add-on where you can actually click and drag their arm and hand and position them in-game live?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I can position them in-game live. I only do that if I absolutely have to, because it's kind of involved and time consuming.
Okay.
Usually what I'll do is I'll build the poses beforehand, and then when I'm ready to shoot, then I'll use the pose in a pose ball, and then I don't have to go dragging their limbs around during the shot, because that's... You know, that's just more time-consuming and difficult than I want to go through.
Oh, I guess I thought that would have been the easier part.
Actually, no.
Okay. Okay, I do have a quick question from Vocal. We have somebody who's asking about Second Life again. Can it be played on the Mac? I'm going to assume yes.
Yes.
All right, there you go. There's your answer. Okay, so do you ever have any other friends actually... with other accounts, because I'm guessing for like some scenes, especially when you have other Jennies, that maybe they can just stand there or sit there, and you don't need to really pose them because the typical animation or whatever doesn't matter, and it's just kind of, I'm guessing, like a sitting or a standing is just going to be a loop, maybe some sway back and forth.
Well, actually, I do have a number of my friends playing parts. There's several characters that show up in the strip. The character of Captain Maggie is my life partner.
All right.
You know, my life partner, Maggie. Mm-hmm. The character of Suiko is a very close friend of mine. And there's a number of other people that are at the location of Washtown that are friends of mine, because that's a live location where a number of friends of mine hang out, and they're just background characters. They're friends that happened to be there at the time and agreed to be in the shot. So they're okay. Just extras. You know, they're essentially extras on the set.
Okay.
And they were dancing at the dance where I took the pictures, so they're in the shot.
Okay.
And they're just local color.
Oh, right. I want to go back to a little bit about the spaces that you use, the sets, let's say. Let's see, so you will sometimes find places that are not on your particular property, and you just, is it like guerrilla filming, where you just kind of go on and try to do whatever you need to without being kicked out or something?
Actually, I try my best to ask permission. And I do give credit. There, the blasted wasteland where I shot a great deal of the scenes, that is actually a role-playing estate called The Wastelands.
Okay.
And it turns out that Warren Ellis actually did some promotion of them when they first started off. But I asked their permission when I went there because it was perfect for what I wanted. And I contacted the person that owns it and asked him if I could do my shooting there. And he was thrilled that I wanted to do it. Cool. And was very glad and gave me some actually gave me some assistance. And I just went back and did another shoot there earlier in the week, and he set up a small parcel for me because I needed to I needed to res up some sets there for a short time.
Okay.
So he set the return time on it to an hour.
Okay, so he set the return time to an hour. So explain what this return time is.
Okay, what return time is on a piece of property, you can set up a time limit that after that much time, if the objects don't belong to the owner, they get sent back to them.
Okay.
And this is so that visitors can put stuff on the land if necessary, and if they want, and you're not being inhospitable.
Okay.
And you can set the restrictions on the land. You can set the restrictions on the land so that nobody can put anything on your land, or anybody can put stuff on your land, or anybody can put stuff on the land if they belong to a group that you set up, or they can put stuff on the land for a short period of time and then it gets returned to them. Hmm. This is pretty much how it goes.
Okay. Let's see here. Mark, do you have any questions?
No, I think we've covered it pretty thoroughly. It sounds pretty interesting, really.
It sounds,
I'm glad it's interesting.
Sounds like a time eater, though.
The whole process of it sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I'll probably end up logging on to Second Life and might have to make a whole new login. I don't know. But check it out.
Well, Fess, if you want a tour of my studio, I will be perfectly glad to give you one.
Oh, right. I was wondering, of course, you don't have to do this. Would you be interested in putting, the coordinates up and then people can visit, or do you rather not do that?
I'd rather not do that, okay. But I will gladly give you a tour if you would like.
Well, all right. This sounds very good, and I'll let you know if I log on and whatnot.
Sure. So.
Cool. Awesome. Let's see here. Is there anything particular that we didn't cover that you'd like to bring up before I go to news?
No, I think you pretty well covered it. Keep an eye out on the story. It's going to get very involved. And one thing that I would like to say is I'm going to be taking the first volume to print through Indie Planet when I have an opportunity.
Okay.
I'm a little behind on that, but because I've been sick and stuff, but as soon as I can manage it, I'm going to get that off to Indie Planet and have volume one up in print as soon as I can.
Alrighty. Let's see. Well, if you don't mind staying around while we go over a little bit of news.
Sure.
All right. So we got some news, which I haven't gone over for a while. So I'm going to check the email, which you have at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Well, that's over with. Too late. Something about the Eagle Awards. That's over with. Okay. Let's see here. We do have a few milestones, of course, to go over. We have Gin N Comics, which is at ginncomics.com, has hit the 1 year mark. There is also C.D. Rudd, who does Sailor Sun and I Dream of a Genie Bottle. I Dream of a Genie Bottle has hit its 100th comic at geniebottle.com. There is also Connie Van Elsing, which is at connievanelsing.dreadful-gate.de. It is, it's turning, the comic itself is turning 10. Back in 2001, it was introduced in a German fanzine called Plop. And let's see here, we also have Sarah Zero of SarahZero.com, Sarah with an H. 8 years it has hit, so congratulations on everybody's milestones. If you have a milestone, you can email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. All right, let me see if I can pull somebody on real quick. There's somebody that I was talking to, which we've had on the show once before, and she does some stuff in Second Life, and I wanted to see if she can come on for like 5 minutes and tell us a bit about, because she, I think, did artwork for In Second Life and sold artwork in clothing. This is Elisa Rose, I believe, which used to have the webcomic Girl vs. Robot. And it sounds like we'll be getting her on in just a second. So I will continue with the news just a little bit here. The is something I've been talking about on Twitter for a while, and such. We have the Webcomic Beacon website is going to be rebranded into the Webcast Beacon Network. What does this mean for the Webcomic Beacon, the Newscast, and the Tropecast? Nothing for the Webcomic Beacon and the Newscast. They'll continue as usual. The site is basically going to become a sort of a hub. The Tropecast is going to break off from the Webcomic Beacon, become its own web podcast, and we're going to be, I'm talking with a couple of people, which are going to be the host and co-host for a new podcast, which we don't have a name for it yet, but it would be covering web fiction, and we'll be hopefully recording a little bit later today, like after this podcast, we're going to be having some discussions and such, and there is, One thing we're going to be looking to do is web fiction readings or possibly performances. You know, web fiction which has a considerable amount of dialogue. And the first story is going to be Bunny Tacos, which is a fairly short web fiction piece, and I will be posting it on this blog post for people, welcoming people to audition for it. So record your stuff and send it to us, because these are actual auditions. We want to see if people can, who might be better for doing readings, or if there might be somebody that has a good voice for performing, so to speak. So that'll be something to look out for. The webcomicbeacon.com is going to be your place to find this information. And right now I'm going to be pulling on Elisa Rose. I believe it's Elisa Rose. We'll double check once she gets on the show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, it's Elisa Rose, correct?
That's right.
And you used to have a webcomic called Girl vs. Robot? And I had talked to you on chat a while back, and I just remembered this because we were doing this Second Life episode where we're talking with, we have Gwen Patton on the line who is doing a Second Life comic called Jenny Everywhere's Infinite Quark Time. And I remember... And she was going on about a bit about Second Life and such. And so you used to and went back to selling artwork or such. Basically, tell us what you do in Second Life.
Well, I don't do it anymore because my tablet broke. So I haven't really been doing any kind of digital art at all.
Right.
But what I used to do is I made, like, clothing and also, like, toys, like scripted toys.
Oh. Okay.
So I worked for my husband... as a scripter, and we worked together, and he would, like, you know, he would do the scripting, and we would make stuff, like, we made a hat that when you clicked it, was like a whirly hat, and when you clicked it, it made your avatar go up into the sky, and then we have, like, a really silly sense of humor, so we had sort of, my brand was very goofy, and then I made clothes, you know.
So you used to design clothes. Was it like a texture that could be put on any sort of type of clothing piece, or was it actually like a full, like, you made a shirt?
Well, I think that their intention was that people would just make textures, but people didn't want just, like, you know, 1980s comic book clothing.
Okay.
So they did, like, a shape import, like a sculpt. They call it sculpt import,
mm-hmm.
Which was really, I guess they're switching to mesh import now, so there will be different things. But you kind of had to cobble it together from, like, different shapes and textures and stuff. And, like, okay, six different attachment points. Sort of bizarre. And it takes a long time to make because you've got to line it all up. You don't have just, like, one texture sheet like you would if you were doing other 3D design.
Yeah, you got to worry about the shoulders, the waist, the buttons, all that.
And you have to know the avatar really well because the joints move at particular locations. And then because people can customize them, they're different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, like, take into account that people are going to have to edit this to fit their avatar.
So, like, you know, like a slim versus a larger person, so to speak.
Right, yeah. And then there's, like, furries, and they have different attachments. You have to, like, help them, and it's really, like, really complicated and time-consuming. And it seems like it shouldn't be. I guess it shouldn't be. But the mesh import should change that. But I haven't even, like, I don't know the news at all. I don't even know if that's, like, out yet.
Oh, okay.
Because I haven't been doing it in a few months.
So how did Gwen was talking to us about how people can buy their own land or rent land, or there's even malls built inside specifically for renting. So tell us about what you basically did for selling your wares, I suppose.
Well, I had I have still a sim with a store on it, and then I rent the areas on the sim that I'm not using. The sim being like an island or whatever.
Okay.
So I made some money, like, from people renting land from me.
Mm-hmm.
And then to, I guess, promote my store, I put it in these malls. And some of them are, like, popular and, like, you know, hip or whatever. And you try to get into the hip malls. And, it's, you know, I mean.
So you're relying really on in-game traffic, not like you have a website. Like, I guess I don't know. It's like Gwen was saying, like, it's more expensive in certain locations. So it's in traffic. You got to use, like, pretend like it's a second life, a real world.
Yeah, you do. I mean, people use Flickr. I used Flickr.
Okay.
As, like, and there are blogs, so you can send your stuff to, like, fashion bloggers, and they'll blog it.
Wow.
And there's, like, a whole, I mean, it's huge. No, I mean, I'm, like, it's a huge thing. There's hundreds of these blogs.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're amazing. The kind of work that goes into some of them, these people, I mean, a lot of them are junky, but some of them are, like, really artistic. They people get really into this stuff.
Wow.
Into taking, like, really pretty like screenshots of the game, and then all this post-processing. And the fashion community is really serious, because a lot of the, like, actual serious fashion students and stuff are working in Second Life doing stuff. So there's this, like, very passionate fashion community, which is very interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So wow. I have to ask, is there just because I never can have enough projects, is there a sort of, like, general, like, podcast or webcast for Second Life and this sort of thing? Because if not, it might be untapped, and I might be interested in doing something.
I'm sorry to say this, but I'm not sure that anything in Second Life is untapped at this point. I think I didn't personally listen to any podcasts, but I'm pretty sure, like, there's a huge Machinima community.
Right, right.
Gigantic. Again, it's like The Sims 2 Machinima community was. And actually, a lot of them are the same people. But, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Like,
there's Treat TV and Metanomics, and
yeah, there's
several.
Okay. Well, then I won't bother trying to get into that. Like, I didn't know that much about web fiction podcasts, and apparently there's not that many of them. Not general ones. There's, like, niche ones or a particular person's one, which is why I am breaking into web fiction.
Second Life is, like, this gigantic community.
How old is it?
Huge. Oh, millions. Wow. It's really, yeah, it's prehistoric.
No, how old is Second Life? How long has it been out?
It's really,
10 years.
10 years ahead?
Yeah, is it 10 years? I know people that have been on it for, like, 6 or 7 years, and that's, wow. I've been on it for, like, 5, maybe 6 now. Okay.
I've been on it 3.5.
So, Elisa, do you still have the shop there? Can people still go and buy from you, or is it right now you just can't do anything?
Yeah, I left it up because people still buy and it still makes money. Not like a lot, not enough to live on, but
okay,
like so, it used to. But it so I keep it up for now. If it stops making money, then I will take it down.
Okay, so if you'd like to email me or text me the coordinates of where your store is, so I can let anyone who listens to the show know where you are.
Okay.
You can feel free to do that. Otherwise I give people's websites and this is a site of which people can visit. So, yeah, totally free advertising, I guess.
Right on.
So that does actually bring us to a close. Do you actually have a current website, Elisa, that I could give as a...
Not for that. I have like, Flickr.
You have your Flickr? Okay, yeah, your Flickr account.
Flickr has... People can get to the store from the Flickr, so... Okay.
Yeah, just so people know where to go and see you. And that does bring us... Mark, do you have any other questions for Elisa?
Just, will we ever see more Girl versus Robot?
You know, I don't know. I mean, It was... I think... we're still news junkies. We really are. But it would have to make money. I mean, it took such a gigantic amount of time to sift through all the news and write the articles and like daily. You know what I mean? Right. Well, we've got a project coming up here soon that's going to be sort of a long format weekly thing.
Okay,
good.
I'll tell you about it when it's happening.
Okay. well, good luck with that, of course. And that is all that we have for the Webcomic Beacon episode 174 this week, Second Life Machinima Comics. We of course have had Gwen Patton from Quark, from Jenny Everywhere's Infinite Quark Time at quarktime.net. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, last minute, we have Elisa Rose of who used to do Girl versus Robot, and we'll get a link to her Flickr in the show notes. Thank you for coming on last minute.
Oh, thank you for having me.
No problem. And this has been Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
Tune in for more at WebcomicBeacon.com.
Yes, it crashed my computer. I found out that my VMU, like the motherboard video chip, the fan had melted. The whole screen would go blank. It was like, ah, what happened? I got that.